Good morning. Our theme verse for this year is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14 says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Our salvation is found in Christ Jesus. And this morning, what I want us to do is to learn more about Jesus. Because the more that we can learn about Jesus, the more that we can become like him and be rooted and grounded in our salvation that is found in him. Turn your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And turn there to John chapter 6 and just stay parked there. We're going to spend the majority of our time there this morning in John chapter 6. As you're turning there, let me welcome everyone that's out with us. As was mentioned, we do have a lot of guests with us this morning. And we're thankful to have you. As I scanned the audience from the back this morning, I just couldn't help but be encouraged to just see families sitting together and to see parents holding their children and teaching them the things of God. We have members here that are grieving the loss of loved ones, but they are here worshiping God. David said in Psalm 122 at verse 1, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And I can't think of a better way to start our week than coming together and worshiping God and being united as one in our faith in him. So I'm thankful for the opportunity we have this morning. In John chapter 6, Jesus performed a miracle that was quite impressive. And that's not to say that the other miracles of Jesus weren't impressive. But this miracle is interesting in John chapter 6 because it's a miracle that's recorded in all four Gospels. If you recall in John chapter 6, it's near the Passover, that we can read about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And he has a conversation with his disciples. All throughout this chapter, Jesus is giving teaching moments to his disciples and to the crowds, to his followers. And in John chapter 6, he asks Philip the question, where are we going to get enough food to feed a crowd like this? Jesus is questioning Philip, saying, what are we going to do? And Philip basically looks at Jesus and says, well, I don't know. What are we going to do about it? He says, 200 denarii would not be enough to feed these people. But then yet Philip finds this young boy who has this sack lunch. And when it doesn't seem or appear, of course, to human thinking that that is near enough to feed such a large group of people, Jesus can take what seems to be little and use it for his glory. And so here in this text, we read that Jesus has the people sit down in verse 10 and he feeds them. Verse 11, Jesus took the loaves and when he had given thanks, he distributed them, to those who were seated. And so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. And so they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this indeed is the prophet who has come into the world. And verse 15 says, perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And so here it is, this group of people that have a physical appetite, and Jesus, through the miracle, satisfies that physical appetite, and they're thankful for that. And they see Jesus as an opportunity to get what they want, to get what they need, to have a handout. And so they're going to take Jesus and make him king. And yet Jesus withdraws. And then as you keep reading in the chapter, this is a chapter filled with great events. This is actually what happens when Jesus walks on the water in John chapter 6. And so when Jesus, after he walks on the water, gets in the boat with his disciples, verse 21 says, then they were glad to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. And so he's fed these 5,000. Now it's the next day. And these people, this crowd of people, come around to the other side to find Jesus once again because they want to have their stomachs full. And so let's pick up reading. I'm going to read a lengthy reading this morning, but I want you to hang with me and then we'll go back and make some points for us today. John chapter 6 at verse 25. I'm going to read John chapter 6, verse 25 through about verse 58. John 6 at verse 25 says, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And so they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. As it is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And so Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread that your fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." It's an amazing discourse that Jesus gives to this crowd when he calls himself the bread of life. And I want you to notice in this text, a couple of times we read where Jesus performed a sign, or the crowd saw the sign that Jesus performed. John refers to the miracles of Jesus as a sign. And when you think about what a sign is simply something that points to something beyond itself. If you're driving down the road and you're heading to Florida and you're on 65 and you see a sign with an arrow pointing to Florida, you don't stop at the sign and say, "Well, we've made it to Florida." No, the sign points to something beyond itself. And so although Jesus satisfied their physical appetites by multiplying the loaves and fish, it was a sign to a much deeper spiritual truth. And that's what Jesus was trying to get this crowd to see that day, that this was a sign pointing to who Jesus really is. And this is something that we need to grasp. Because what Jesus is saying is that man was designed, yes, to have a physical appetite. God has designed us that way. We have a physical appetite. But the sign that Jesus performed in multiplying the loaves and the fish is that we are designed as well with a spiritual appetite. You see, yes, we have a physical appetite. But do you understand this morning that you have a spiritual appetite? And it is longing to be fed. There are many people in the world today that don't realize it, but they're hungry spiritually. They're looking for something. That's why we have songs like "I Can't Get No Satisfaction," Or people will say, if I only knew the answer. Or I'm just so empty inside. When people say things like that, what they are expressing are spiritual hunger pangs. Whether they realize it or not, they are empty spiritually and they are looking for something to come and satisfy their spiritual appetite. And so sadly, what many people do today is that since they've been taught that they are nothing more than an evolved germ, that you might as well live life and just seize the day and try to gather up as much stuff as you can. Try to live your life in such a way where you can find the greatest happiness and whatever pleasure that I can find myself to get involved with. Or I'll buy the bigger house, or I'll buy the newer car, or I'll get a new spouse, or I'll try something else. And then what they realize is they try all of these things that the world has to offer, and they still wind up empty. They're still saying, I feel empty inside. You see, we were made with a need for God. Just as we were made with a need for food, we were made with a need for God. And that's why Jesus would say in the text in verse 27, that's why he says, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. Jesus is saying you're seeking the things in this life that can only temporarily satisfy, but there is a food that endures for eternal life, and I can give it to you. And when Jesus makes that claim, the Son of God says that he can give us something that gives us eternal life, we need to sit up and listen to this. This is important for us this morning. See, only God can give what we are seeking. Five times in this text, Jesus says that I am the bread that came down from heaven. In other words, you can't buy this bread on Amazon. It is something that it is a gift from God. And this is an incredible claim. When Jesus says that I am the bread of life come down from heaven, he is claiming deity. He is saying that he is the gift of God. I am from heaven. It is the greatest claim with the greatest offer. I am God's gift for men to fill that spiritual longing. That I am the answer. When a person says, I just wish I knew the answer, Jesus is saying in John 6, I am the answer. So let me just show you a few things this morning that we should look to when we think about Jesus as the bread of life. First of all, I want you to notice that Jesus is the bread that saves. Jesus is the bread that saves. Now go back in John 6 and notice in verse 15. Remember in verse 15, after he feeds the crowds, in John 6 at verse 15, perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew. You see, they are trying to take Jesus and make him the king that they are looking for. Now, remember when this is happening. This is happening around the Passover. So this is already on their mind. The Passover, the release from Egyptian bondage. And Jesus comes along and he feeds them and they're reminded of Moses. And hey, Moses was the great deliverer. Moses was the one who led our people out of Egyptian bondage. He then fed them miraculously in the wilderness. That's what Jesus is doing here now. And so they're just kind of connecting the dots here. They're thinking, well, maybe God has now sent the prophet. He sent this Redeemer to deliver us from Roman bondage. And so they wanted to take Jesus by force and make him king. They wanted to force him into a mold that Jesus then retreated. I love that about Jesus, that he didn't allow the crowds to shape or mold what he thought or how he behaved. And that's another sermon for another time. But just consider that, that Jesus was not willing to just become and conform to who the people wanted him to be. He had a mission and he was not going to let this crowd draw him away from the will of God. But Jesus knows what they are thinking. This is why he talks about Moses and manna so much in this chapter. But notice in verse 49 that we read. In verse 49, he says, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. And so he's saying, listen, even though you've eaten yesterday, you had your fill of the loaves and the fish and your belly was full yesterday. If you don't pay attention to what I have to say about your spiritual appetite, you can eat bread all day long and you're still going to die. It's not going to satisfy you. Jesus is revealing that I've come to offer something so much better than Moses did for your ancestors. You see, Jesus is offering salvation. Just notice in the text, notice in verse 40, he says, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." Verse 47, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life." Verse 50 and 51, he says the same thing. He will live forever. He will live forever. Now notice what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that if you will eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will live forever. Now this does not mean, that you will never experience physical death. I mean, in fact, you just have to look at what he says in verse 40. I will raise him up on the last day. So this is, Jesus is not saying you won't experience physical death. But Jesus is saying that if Jesus becomes the food for your soul, then your soul cannot be beaten by death. You see, Jesus is really driving at something much deeper than physical death. He's describing a spiritual death. When you think about what is spiritual death? Well, spiritual death is separation from God. Our sins separate us from God. Spiritual death is separation from God. And so if your soul feeds on Christ, then you will never be separated from God. Death cannot touch the real you. And that's why he says in verses 53 and 54, "I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." I know Jesus is not speaking of what some doctrines talk about transubstantiation. That's not what Jesus is saying. Notice what he says back in verse 40 that we read. "Whoever looks on the Son and believes in him will have eternal life." Then he says back in verse 54, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." Eats my flesh and drinks my blood, looks on me and believes in me, has eternal life. So what Jesus is saying is that you have to have faith in me. Faith that I am the Son of God, exactly who I claim to be. And when you think about faith, faith listens and obeys the instructions of Christ. Jesus says you've got to drink my blood. In other words, you have to have faith on the work of the cross that Jesus would give his blood for the world. Have you ever considered that we are nourished by the death of something else? And almost everything you eat, unless you get it out of a box, it's processed food or something, everything you eat is at the expense of the death of something else. That'd be a great thought this afternoon when you eat your cheeseburger or your dinner. But think about that. I mean, even the bread that you eat, wheat provides us, dead wheat provides us with bread, dead vegetables, that they're off the vine. They nourish us. We live in a world where life comes from death. Now, nowhere is this more true than when it comes to Jesus in all of our lives. But here's the difference. The animals that we eat, they didn't have much of a choice. But Jesus the Christ had a choice. He had a choice. And he willingly laid down his life for us so that he can offer us eternal life. You see, Jesus is not the king that they wanted him to be. An earthly king comes in and tries to conquer and takes life and sheds blood of others. Jesus was not that kind of king. Jesus is king over all in his spiritual kingdom. He didn't come to take blood and shed the blood of others. He came to shed his own blood. He offered up his own blood on the cross so that we can be saved. And because of his willingness to go to the cross, he's the bread that saves. So as we learn more and more about Jesus and think about the fact that our salvation is found in faith through him, consider the fact that the bread of life saves. But second of all, I want you to notice this, that Jesus is the bread that satisfies. Jesus is the bread that satisfies. Notice in verse 33, he says, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." In verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now, yes, Jesus is talking about eternal life in the future, but he's also talking about something in the here and now. He says that he's going to give life now. He's talking about life now. In other words, if you will feast on my body, if you will drink my blood, you will experience a quality of life now that will last forever. In other words, Jesus is saying that you will find complete satisfaction for your spiritual appetite now. Now. At least you should. See, here's the problem. We can be completely convinced that Jesus saves. We sing the song, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. We've heard the joyful sound, Jesus saves. We can be convinced and convicted that Jesus is the bread that saves, but are we convinced that Jesus is the bread that satisfies? I think that's the struggle for us today. That we can approach our spiritual walk with a desire for Jesus to save us, but we often think that we need other things to satisfy. And we can be like the crowd. We can be like the crowd here in John chapter 6, where we follow Jesus just to see what's in his hand. That we'll approach Jesus and ask him for all the things that we want here in this life, and we approach Jesus and we want to look in his hand and see if it's there, if he's given us a handout, rather than just walking up to Jesus and grabbing his hand and walking with him. See, we look to Jesus and we often can be like the crowd, and we want to force him into who we want him to be, to just do something for us. And Jesus knew that their eyes were still on the physical, and he's trying to get them to think in terms of their spiritual appetite. Jesus tells them that anything he does for them temporarily is going to rot. It's going to spoil. It's not going to last. That's why he says, do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. This is a convicting statement for us, because we can have a tendency to pursue Jesus only to try to get the things that spoil and rot in the end. And we might just spend all of our time, rather than following Jesus and just grabbing his hand and walking with him in faith and trust, we want to follow Jesus so that he'll multiply the bread and fish in our lives. Or in other words, so that he'll multiply the physical things in our lives. And so we follow Jesus and we just want Jesus to multiply our money, multiply our resources, multiply my time, multiply my pleasure, multiply my earthly temporary things. And Jesus says to us today, do not labor for the food that perishes. It's not worth it in the end. You see, physical bread may satisfy physical hunger, but it will not satisfy the hunger for our souls. We'll never have the needs of our soul. We'll never have our spiritual appetite met by the things of this world. It'll never happen. We allow the things of this world to become an unhealthy diet to satisfy our cravings. And just like our physical appetites, we can eat lunch today, but come dinner time, we're hungry once again. What makes us think that the temporary things of this world are going to satisfy us spiritually? Why have we convinced ourselves of that? Why do we think that if we can just get more and more and just feed a little bit more on the things of this world that we're going to be satisfied? And in the end, we're going to wind up on empty. I remember reading the story about a man who's found in a berry patch and he was dead. And an autopsy was performed and he had a stomach full of these berries. And after further investigation, it was revealed that the berries that he was eating had zero nutritional value. He died while he was eating the whole time. When I think about that, are you feeding on the wrong things in the wrong places, trying to fill your appetite? Are you just feeding and feeding and feeding, but yet you're still empty? We need to appreciate the words of the Apostle Paul. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what the Apostle Paul was saying? Is that Christ is my obsession. Christ is who I need. Christ is who I exalt. Christ is who I feed on. Christ is my all in all. And can we say that today? Can we confidently say Jesus saves and yes, Jesus satisfies as well? And it's really a daily thing. It's a daily decision to trust that Jesus is going to give us the things that we need today. Today, Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. Don't worry about the things of this world that you sometimes you have very little control over. If God takes care of the birds of the air, isn't he going to take care of you as well? And so he says at the end of Matthew chapter 6, don't worry about tomorrow. Today is enough trouble of its own. And so will we daily decide that Jesus satisfies and not worry about whether or not we're going to have the things of this world tomorrow or the next day or the next day? I read the story about it was a problem in Europe during World War II with orphans. Their parents were killed and these children were put in these various short-term homes. And what they found out is that the children were having a lot of trouble sleeping at night. They were well clothed. They were well fed. They were well taken care of. And so they had a psychologist come in and just look over the situation to find out, why aren't these kids sleeping at night? So he came up with a solution. He said, I want you to give each child at night when they go to bed, hand them a piece of bread. Not to eat, not as a midnight snack. Just give them that piece of bread and let them hold on to it. And what he found is that when they started doing that these children started sleeping so much better because they knew when they woke up the next morning that they'd have food to eat. It was in their hand. When we think about Jesus, he's the only source of nourishment that will last. He is the only bread that we can count on to be there tomorrow and the next day and the next day. There is not death, famine, or sword that can keep us from feeding on Jesus today or tomorrow. Are we feeding on Jesus Christ, the bread of life? You know, we sometimes talk about, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. And that's true. You are what you eat. And we also talk about food sometimes that is an obsession. He eats and drinks baseball or basketball. He eats and drinks whatever subject that is, whatever pleasure that is. And we talk about that in terms of obsession. And in many ways, Jesus is calling us to do that as well. That we need to make sure that we have the right appetite. We know how important that is physically, especially if you're ill, if you have some medical problems, you have heart issues. I mean, you need to watch your diet. You need to see what it is that you're taking in. How much more so spiritually? How much more so spiritually to watch our diets to make sure what it is that we are taking in will satisfy our souls? Abundant life is only found in Jesus. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. John 10 at verse 10. And Jesus isn't promising that if you'll feast on his flesh and if you'll drink his blood, that you'll have a trouble-free, adversity-free life. He said in this world in John 16 to verse 33, you will have trouble. He said that. He's not promising a trouble-free life. What Jesus is promising and what he is offering in the abundant life is not a life marked by the absence of conflict or trouble. What he is promising is that in the midst of trouble and conflict, we can have a joy and a strength and a peace even in the midst of trouble. That's true nourishment. That's the sustenance that we need to have. Do you know that kind of nourishment? If not, let me ask you this question. What have you been eating lately? What have you been taking in? Because we are what we eat. So two things as I close. First of all, you got to recognize the necessity. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is not a bread of life. He's not just an appetizer or he's not just one entree on the menu. He is the bread of life. He's not an option on the buffet. He is the bread of life. And too often we can get so full and so bloated on the things of this world that we then try to squeeze a little bit of Jesus in. And that's not going to work spiritually. That will leave us on empty. You got to feed on the bread of life and realize its necessity. But finally, I just want to say this as I close. You got to eat the bread. You got to eat the bread. I know that sounds simple, but here's what I'm saying. You have to eat the bread. You think about a menu. You go out and you go to the restaurant and you get your menu out, and the menu always has great pictures of the food, and it always looks better on the menu, right? But you look on the menu and you see that menu and you can read all the ingredients that are on the menu. You can even order the food and have the food sit down right in front of you. But if you don't ever eat the food, it doesn't do you any good. And here's what I'm saying. Turn to John chapter 5 as we close. We can do the same thing spiritually. Spiritually, we can read the menu without ever taking in the true food. Jesus would say in John chapter 5, want you to notice what he says, just a chapter over in John chapter 5, in verse 39, Jesus says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." The scriptures are absolutely essential. They reveal to us the words of eternal life, but they reveal to us the words of eternal life found in Jesus Christ. And so it's important for us not to just read the menu, dissect the menu, and make charts and diagrams about the menu. Those things have its place. But listen, at some point in time, we've got to take a bite. That's where the true food, I hope when you come here that when Doy and I preach, you go to the Bible classes, that you feel like you're fed. But I want to tell you, the true eating comes when you take what you learn, when you read the Bible and you live it out. That's what eating really is. Yeah, we can sit and read the word, but the true feasting is found in seeing what the scripture reveals to us and obeying. That's what it's all about. And so I leave you with a question. Are you willing to do that today? Are you willing to act on the commands of Scripture? Are you truly feasting on the bread of life? Jesus is the bread that saves, and Jesus is the bread that satisfies. Do you believe that? Is there a command and instruction of God that you're leaving undone, that you refuse to eat? If so, today I hope that you'll repent of that. If you're here and you're a Christian, you need to repent of that sin. Confess your sin to God and turn back to Him. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, we want to give you the opportunity to submit to the bread that saves. As I mentioned, Jesus willingly gave His life on the cross so that you can have your sins forgiven. But what's required is your response. Will you respond in obedient faith, having your sins washed away in the waters of baptism? And you can be raised to walk in newness of life. And think about it, on the last day, when Jesus says, "I will raise him up on the last day," that's what we all want. That I will be raised up on the last day to eternal life. It is an incredible offer that none of us want to miss. If we can help you in any way, come on up to the front right now while we sing.